Our guest this morning is Karen Clark. She is the author of From Bullied to Brilliant, and she is also the co-founder of Powerful Positive People. She's a trainer of NLP and timeline therapy. Karen currently works as a confidence and performance coach, helping adults, children, performers, and athletes reach their potential. And the world is full of questions, she says, but the answers lie within. It's going to be a very interesting hour indeed, looking at bullying. Have you ever been bullied? Have your children been bullied? Well, Karen is here to look at this topic with us today and to answer your questions. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Welcome to Dubai.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You just arrived yesterday, but you are no stranger to Dubai, of course. But you've just come off a whole series of presentations and seminars that you've been doing for adults and in Australia, which is where you hail from, of course. You have a bit of a multinational background there, but currently you're in Australia, and you're doing these presentations dealing with difficult people. Tell us how that went.
Well, they went wonderfully. I've done a series of talks for adults, and just last Thursday, Friday, a couple of talks for year six students, which was super exciting because it's great to be able to communicate the same message but in a different way. The reason I picked the topic dealing with difficult people is because bullying has a quite narrow focus in many people's minds, and fundamentally the message is about that. It's about how to deal with conflict and how to overcome difficult behaviours, which are broad-reaching.
They are broad-reaching, and like you're saying, you are a professional, a coach who deals with adults, you deal with young people, you deal with children as well. So you are, of course, tailoring that message to the different audiences that you do reach. But tell us about that, dealing with difficult people, and also you've been working with the police force, I believe, in terms of domestic violence issues and things like that.
Yes, well, this is an initiative of the Gympie Regional Council and the Brisbane Broncos, which is a wonderful rugby team in Australia, and their ethos is building better men as opposed to building better players, which is a wonderful approach. They have a wonderfully broad community program as well. They're very, very keen to help develop youth, and they really want to develop the youth in the sense that they understand their behavior to be more important than their talent on the field and how they're going to lead better lives and have a better understanding of the community that they live in. So the police came in to run this program, which is addressing domestic violence and bullying, in order to teach young students their rights, their responsibilities, and how to find ways of dealing with the problem.
Because obviously it starts from very young. You know, bullying is not something that's just for adults. It happens with kids, and it's a big topic for us here at Dubai Eye, on Dubai Today particularly as well, that we talk about this quite often, and it concerns a lot of parents. And I know you are a mother of three, and this is something that is important for you in addressing. Now, we want to get to your book, how it came about. Where did this idea come from for this book? And what I was reading is that you yourself have actually been bullied in the past. Can you tell us about that? When did that start?
Yes, well, my experience of bullying isn't actually the focus of the book, interestingly enough. What has happened is as a professional coach, I was working with adults and sometimes their children. They would sometimes bring their children to see me, and I recognized the fact that most problems stem from low confidence and self-esteem. Most issues stem from low confidence and self-esteem, and now that manifests as bullying. And the issue actually isn't necessarily that there's a lot of difficult people in the world. The problem is that most people who feel bullied haven't developed the strategies they need to overcome it. So there was a system. I noticed there was a system. And that became a big driver for me, because if I'm going to sit with a student who's struggling and a parent who's upset and stressed and worried and spend 45 minutes to turn the problem around, then I have a duty to write a book about that, because there's a need in the community and in the world for people to understand that there are simple things you can do to overcome bullying. Having children myself, of course, was a big driver, because then I have children in school. So I'm facing, whilst I'm writing the book, I'm facing the same difficulties that every other parent is facing. But we had solutions. So I've put together the book in order to make that accessible to the rest of the world.
What's interesting about your book as well, you say that it's a radically different approach. It is not the usual approach that is taken to bullying issues. And this is something that I want to explore with you after the break. We want to talk about, you know, what is a bully? What defines a bully? And how do we deal with this behavior?
Dubai Today wants to hear your voice. Connect with us via text at 4001, Facebook, or at DubaiEye1038.com.
Karen Clark is our guest here in studio today. She is the author of From Bullied to Brilliant, How to Artfully Not Fit In. I love the title. It's a great title, Karen.
Thank you. Yes, it was an interesting journey trying to pick a tagline for the book, but it is. It's about not fitting in. I'm a big fan of not fitting in. Part of the problem with bullying is people who feel like they don't fit in wanting to fit in, and I'd rather they celebrate their uniqueness and enjoy the moment and become somebody, differentiate themselves with pride, rather than feel embarrassed or ashamed of not actually meeting other people's expectations.
And, you know, it's interesting what you say. You know, is it really about meeting other people's expectations? Is it about fitting in? Or, you know, are you just the unsuspecting target of somebody who just really wants to find somebody to bully? You know, well, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, what is bullying? What constitutes bullying? Because some people might say, you know, oh, you're just getting teased a lot. And some will say, no, well, that crosses the line. Where is the line? What do you define as bullying?
Well, the difficulty is that defining the line. Most people have different ideas about what bullying is, and that's part of the problem. That's why it needs breaking down. So somebody who is raised, for instance, in a home where people speak their mind, people are comfortable saying no to each other, people are open and direct. When they come, say, for instance, at school, so we'll start there in the playground, and that child then approaches another and is forthright and is outgoing and speaks their mind, if the other child is raised in a home where that's not acceptable, they will feel bullied. They will have, perhaps no bullying has happened, but the relationship between the two becomes a dominant and a submissive relationship. And that then can seem to be bullying. Now, there is real bullying. There's a lot of real bullying. We just have to read the paper to know that bullying exists. But there is a big difference between what some people believe to be bullying and what really is bullying. Bullying is a repeated, unwanted, and hurtful, intentionally hurtful approach to another person.
So intentionally hurtful, this is what, you know, takes it over the line for you.
Yeah, somebody needs to intend to cause you pain. Now, there is teasing. So there are certain elements. I was raised in the north of England, and I have six brothers. So teasing is a big part of our experience. And for some families, the way my family speak to each other or the way my family behave could be extremely challenging and seen as bullying. And perhaps sometimes it does go over the line. But the intention behind it mostly is humour. Is to provoke people and to create some kind of banter. But that's how I was raised in the north of England, and that was very common where I grew up. Now, in different cultures and different countries and different families, that can be seen, even in the north of England, that can be seen to be abusive or unfair or dominant or unkind. So the line in the personal relationships is very, very blurry and dependent on how you've been raised. Mm. In a group, say in the workplace or in the home, in the workplace or in the school, it's a bit easier to define because it's a bit more obvious where people are coming from.
Mm. Okay, interesting. In terms of bullying, that approaches to stopping bullying that you have seen, that we've all seen, what is it about that in your mind that doesn't work, and what makes your approach different?
Because I don't fundamentally believe you can stop bullying. I think it's like saying stopping parents arguing, or stopping somebody having a bad day and lashing out, or stopping somebody losing their temper. That's where you'd have to go. You'd have to go there. You'd have to go to the point where you can stop people having negative emotional reactions to stop bullying. Because some people are just constantly lashing out. They have that pattern within them and they're walking around lashing out. You're going to bump into them. So my approach is not to stop bullying. My approach is to empower people to figure out how to deal with dominant and aggressive people. A deal doesn't necessarily mean hang around and stay there and be part of that, but understand that there is a line, that you have a line, that you have a boundary, that you have a point where you will not participate in the relationship anymore, and to enforce that. But there's also a whole bunch of things you can do to build your own self-belief up to the point where you're not listening anymore.
Mm. Okay, I want you to take me through that. I think that's really interesting to kind of say, you know, it sounds like it's not about the bully, but rather about the victim. Is this kind of the approach that you're taking?
That is the approach. However, a bully would be a victim in disguise. Because if somebody is going to be aggressive and intentionally hurtful to another, they are in pain. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. So you've got technically two victims operating with different patterns. Neither of them are helpful. Neither of them are good patterns. So somebody who submits to somebody's abusive behavior is unhappy, and somebody who is abusive is unhappy. They're both pretty much a match as far as the way they relate. One of them lashes out and one of them internalizes, but they both are in pain.
Okay, so what I want to go through now is, let's take a scenario, for example, of a kid who's at school, who goes to school every day and, you know, confronts their bully basically in the classroom. You know, that child has nowhere else that they can possibly be. They cannot escape it. You know, obviously they've got to go to school. They're being told that they've got to stay in that classroom. But there is a bully that is there on their back every single day. How do you deal with that?
Okay, well, it depends on the actual bullying. So if it's physical, then the school is responsible. The parents and the school have to mobilize themselves to stop physical bullying. As far as I'm concerned, my book is not written for physical bullying. Physical bullying is beyond the tolerance of. I wouldn't go into my workplace and allow someone to bash me, and my children do not need to go into school and have to figure out how to cope with physical abuse. So that would be the first instance. So the child, if it's physical, has to go to the teachers, the parents, the school counselor, anything, but needs to stop. The school is responsible. If it's bullying that is done psychologically or covertly, then the child has to decide how serious it is, whether it's manageable, whether it's impossible, whether they need support or not. And this is a process that I take my kids through every single time when something happens. How serious is this? Do you have the resources and tools to manage this? What do you need from me? Do you need me to intervene? What exactly can you do? So what we do is we sit down and we make a plan. We used to. My kids are so well versed in this now, they'll do it more or less spontaneously. Have you got this? I've got your back. Do you need me? So you have a system. As a parent, you have a system where that you support that child to understand their choices in the situation. Some of them are unbearable. Some situations are unbearable, and sometimes you have to leave. But that's just life. That's just life. Sometimes we are faced either with a manager or someone in our school or an unsupportive environment. If it's unbearable, it's unbearable. You change your environment. But mostly, the kids can upskill themselves.
Okay, so you say that the kids, this is part of what you do, that you give kids the tools to be able to deal with what's going on. A really interesting discussion, and I want to talk about those tools and what we do in those situations, and even at work, how bullying affects us at work as well. You talk about that there are 5 myths of bullying. We want to go through those with you as well.
Dubai Today wants to hear your voice. Connect with us via text at 4001, Facebook, or at DubaiEye1038.com.
It is Dubai Today, and in studio this morning we've got with us Karen Clark, who is the author of a new book, From Bullied to Brilliant, How to Artfully Avoid Fitting In. It's an interesting discussion on bullying, and the messages are coming through here on the text lines. Karen, you mentioned earlier, you were talking about how, that the bully is also a victim, which is a really interesting comment. We've got one comment here from one of our listeners saying, is that true about bullies? Because he says, I was bullied by the confident, cool guy.
Yes, well, that's his perception, you see. This is part of the problem, why it's difficult to define, and in fact why it's difficult to prosecute in the workplace as to what bullying really is because we have a perception of a person, and he will be so he's perceiving that guy as the confident, cool guy, but he doesn't know what's going on in that man's life or that child's life. He doesn't know what their home life is like. He doesn't know how he's treated, their interpersonal relationships, doesn't know what's going on. If that person is bullying, they are in pain. People do not bully when they're in good shape because they have better things to do. People don't waste time bullying and being hurtful if they are in good shape. That's just the bottom line. So you can't judge. I'm not able to judge every single instance and every single person. When I worked in the airlines, when people were being hostile towards me, I had no idea why they were being hostile towards me. I just knew they were, but I wasn't interested in why. It wasn't what was important was what I was going to do about the problem.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. So Anne says, I find the intervention of your guest on bullying extremely interesting. I fully agree with her. I have several children and we had similar discussions on bullying. I agree with empowering children first while reassuring them on the fact that we parents are there to support them if need be. Children need to feel that they can be in control.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the point. The point is these children are simply learning the skills they need in adult life. Luckily, mostly, especially in primary school, bullying is not physical. In Australia, at least, it's very rare that it's physical, and that isn't the problem. So they are given, I said to my kids when they're in primary school, this is fantastic. This is the time when they're coming to their parents. This is the time when they're listening to their parents. And this is the time when you can help them build up the skills and resources they need as adults, and they will need them. If you stop bullying, the kids won't have the opportunity to learn how to deal with hostility and unfairness and injustice. They won't have those skills. So when they leave and they go to work, if something happens, they won't be prepared, or they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they have a relationship, or they get married and the relationship is conflicted. If they haven't had the opportunity to understand what are appropriate behaviors and how to deal with them, they won't know what to do.
It's interesting. This all ties back to your 5 myths on bullying. The first one, you say that bullies are strong people, which is what you're saying. That's what it looks like on the outside.
Yes. Well, fundamentally, if somebody is bullying, they are not strong. They're coming from a place of weakness. Now, whether you wish to investigate that or not, I would suggest not, unless you're a professional coach or unless you are invested in that relationship and it's a family relationship and you want to try and resolve the problem. If it's in the school or if it's at work, I don't know that you necessarily want to go deep enough with that person to figure out why they're behaving badly. But what you do need to do is let them know that that's uncomfortable for you.
Mm.
That's enough. But okay. they are definitely not strong people. Mm. Aggression and abuse is not strength. It's the Dalai Lama said that compassion and I think it was love and compassion is not weakness, it's strength.
Okay. So the second one is really interesting. I want you to talk to about this one. Myth number two being that bullies seek out weak people. Why is this a myth?
It's a myth because it's our perception of weakness. Again, back to what the Dalai Lama, just because you're compassionate and you're loving and you're kind, it actually doesn't mean you're weak. It means that's your setup. You are the kind of person that will give people the benefit of the doubt. You will be gentle with people. You may not be the kind of person that speaks up for yourself, but it does not mean you are weak.
Mm.
That is not weakness. That is strength.
You say that, that the irony is that bullies are often attracted to people who possess the very qualities they secretly or unknowingly admire.
Yes. Well, this is really the balance that happens. So a bully will seek out somebody that, in a sense, is their polar opposite, because they don't have those qualities. Perhaps they don't have gentleness in their life. Perhaps they don't have compassion in their life. So they'll seek it out. But because they're in pain, they will lash out.
Hmm. Okay. Number three, bullying is a schoolyard problem. This is a myth.
Definitely. Mm. Absolutely not. Bullying is prevalent in the home, in the workplace, between businesses, between governments. It's everywhere. Bullying is a pattern. It's a behavior. It is certainly not a playground. It just shows up in the playground and is more obvious because children tend to not have the tools and resources they need, and they're vulnerable in the sense that they are put in a group environment which is foreign. They are in an environment of people who they potentially have nothing in common with and expected to get along. It is the most vulnerable time of your life when you're at school.
And number four is that being bullied is shameful. It is not shameful, of course. This is something that we know. But this is interesting. Number five, bullies are bad people. They're not bad people.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we're talking degrees here. So everyone's going to have a story of somebody who is, in their mind, a bad person.
And you talk about as well, actually, we've all had moments when we are bullies. This is something that you talk about in the book. Can you talk more about that?
Well, there are times where perhaps we don't behave appropriately. I know there's times when I've lost my temper, or I've been harsh or been impatient. There are times when I'm not on my A game, and I would like to think that I've spent a lifetime always behaving appropriately and always doing the right thing by other people, but I'm certain that I haven't. And I'm also certain that at times I've been perceived, perhaps, it's possible that I've been perceived as being dominant when I'm just, in my mind, being open or forthright or honest or fair or just, and that the perception of the other person is that I'm coming on too strong, I'm speaking up when I shouldn't. Those kind of things are out of my control. I might be perceived as a bully.
Mm. I'm going to play you a clip now. This is from Ali Nasser. He's a 21-year-old who was bullied, and as a result of being bullied, he turned into a bully himself, which relates to what we're talking about. He is talking about his experience of both being a victim and a bully.
I was bullied in school. It was definitely an experience that really changed my outlook on life and really helped shape who I am. But in terms of my bullying, I feel as though I was one of those cases where I went from being abused to the abuser. I have to say I also lost my father, and that made me even angrier. And that actually made me even more of a bully. Because I was dealing with so much rage, I became a bully, and it's not something that I am proud of, but it is something that I do have to say, because I feel like there are so many people out there just like me who have been bullied and then unfortunately become bullies. And I think the biggest issue is that they're unaware of what they're doing. In my case, I was lashing out at so many people. I used my dad's issue as kind of an excuse, and that of course is unacceptable. I was one of the youngest in my year, and all the other boys had developed before me, so I was a lot younger than them, so I looked younger than them, and that was one reason that I was bullied. When I became a bully, I changed schools a second time, actually due to bullying. When I changed schools, I went into this new school with this attitude of no one's going to make me feel like that way again, so I developed a very sharp and hard edge to protect myself. So I was very defensive, in a way treated people the way I was treated just because I was in fear. I think when you're bullied, you feel there's this horrible feeling of fear, as you don't ever want to be treated this way again. You don't ever want to be put in that situation again.
And that was Ellie Nasser. What do you think about that, Karen?
Well, I think it's interesting. Again, he said he was lashing out, and that's exactly what I'm trying to explain, that somebody who's bullying is in pain and is lashing out. Somebody who is a victim is in pain and they're internalizing it. They're both dealing with pain, and that's where my focus goes when I'm working with a person. I'm not necessarily working on the behavior, I'm working on the pain. If you address the pain that you're feeling, and he said it's related largely to his father and to being bullied, if you address that, he will change his behavior. And he's recognized that. Good on him for speaking up as well, by the way. It takes a lot of courage to admit that you've been a bully.
And this is the thing. I mean, once you've been a victim to that, it can harden you. And then this cycle just continues and continues. And, you know, that of course, there is always a reason why a bully acts the way they do act. A message from one of our listeners, Rami, says, lack of supervision and lack of discipline by the parents is a major factor, in my opinion and experience. Many parents contribute to the bullying behavior of their child by ignoring signs or the school teacher's remarks, sending the wrong message to the child and inadvertently encouraging him or her to carry on.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Ignoring children's behavior, I'd say, is probably a major cause of bullying. The children learn from their parents. They learn all their values and behaviors through their parents, and this is the fundamental problem. This is why I'm saying that I don't feel addressing bullying itself is effective, because you need to actually address how the home life, how the child experiences home life. Now, a child that is raised in a family that either ignores, overlooks, or encourages dominant behaviors is going to manifest those in the playground. It will show up. So what we need to do is learn how to position ourselves so somebody else's hurtful or aggressive or abusive behavior does not impact us. Therefore, we don't have to become hardened. You don't need to be hard if you don't put yourself in front of it. Now, this isn't, we were talking before about the fact that people sometimes feel like I'm blaming the victim. That's a very interesting approach to, or interesting way of looking at what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're to blame. If a train is coming towards you on a train track fast, do you step out of the way or do you stay on the train track? I'm saying step out of the way. I'm saying notice the behavior. Notice when you're around people who've got these problems or these abusive or aggressive or lashing out style patterns. Notice them and position yourself better so you don't suffer. That's all. Get in a better place. Position yourself internally, develop the strategies, and put yourself in a better place.
Dubai Today wants to hear your voice. Connect with us via text at 4001, Facebook, or at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yes, you're with Karen Clark this morning. She is the author of From Bullied to Brilliant, How to Artfully Avoid Fitting In. And we're discussing bullying in all its forms and in all its effects. And lots of your questions are coming in on the text lines. But there are some that are coming through right now saying, I strongly agree that children who are being bullied need to develop the skills to resolve the problem. I think it's also important that parents empower children to solve the problems themselves. Jumping in to save their child too quickly can set up the child for being a victim again. What do you think about that, Karen?
Yes, I agree totally. Particularly primary school bullying is a perfect opportunity for parents to work with their children and support them through the journey from being somebody who sees themselves as a victim to somebody who is able to deal with conflict and able to deal with people who are harsh and difficult and challenging and hurtful, and know that they're set up then in life that you're never prepared. Listen, we're never prepared. When somebody's awful, we're never, ever prepared. However, the strategies, easy strategies that we can put in place so that you have the opportunity to grow and to move fast out of that place.
And we're going to go to that call right now. And we have that caller on the line. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, thanks for joining us on Dubai Today. Tell us about your experience of bullying. You did mention in a message that you had sent to us that you had been bullied before in the past when you were younger, and then this has actually left some lasting issues that you're still dealing with today. Tell us about that experience.
I suppose it's over the course of like 2 years, sort of in my teenage years, and basically sort of I'm very selective about friends, very selective about sort of people I build relationships with, and I suppose confrontation is something that terrifies me. I suffer with anxiety and struggle with that sometimes. And I suppose confidence, if in terms of confrontation, if it came to things at work, I shy away from that quite a lot. And I think that is lasting from sort of what I went through at school.
And so this is still affecting you now. You feel like you don't have the confidence to deal with people every day because of what happened to you.
I think a lot of it stems from that. I think definitely sort of, as I say, the distancing from confrontation. I mean, even when it comes to things like debate, it makes me sort of very uncomfortable to throw my opinion in, just because over the course of such a long time, it left lasting effects sort of from school.
Karen, this sounds like something that you very much talk about in your book, developing that confidence, developing that ability to overcome that experience and to move on from it and to find your voice, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the case of the caller is probably a perfect atypical case. People would come to me for coaching and feel like they didn't have a voice, feel that they weren't confident, they didn't believe in themselves, they weren't able to speak up in the face of conflict. And that would be the process that we go through. And because it is such a simple process, it's not something you could do on a radio show, it's something that you need to work on. But there are easy methods of helping people out of that place. It's not necessary to stay there for years and years and years. And that is why I wrote the book, was to illustrate, demonstrate to people that there are things you can do. You do not need to stay there. If you had trouble for 2 years of your life, there is a great deal within those 2 years that you will have learned about yourself. You just may not have put it all together inside of you in the way that it serves you right now, but the opportunity is there.
What are the kind of some of the first steps that somebody can take to overcome it and to find their confidence again?
First is reinterpreting the problem. So the way I've explained it is, you can't climb a mountain if it's not there. If you hadn't had this challenge, you wouldn't have the opportunity to know yourself and to be strong and to grow and to develop all these tools. So firstly, look at the problem as being an opportunity instead of being a problem. The children won't learn the tools and strategies they need if they're not faced with a difficult person. Just as if it happens in high school, it happens in junior school, it doesn't really matter where it happens. It happens to a great deal of people. Many, many, many people are confronted by this. So that would be my first step, is to look at the problem as being an opportunity. And then if it's gone on for a number of years, I would highly recommend coaching or going to see somebody who is able to help you transition from the position of feeling like a victim to feeling like someone who's had an experience and grown. Very different way of looking at it.
Thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate you sharing your story on Dubai Today this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the tip. Thank you.
And, you know, lots of other messages coming in. This one from Mackenzie saying, I like the analogy of the train and moving off the tracks, but what would be a way to avoid constant and direct bullying when it's coming from someone in your workplace that you are required to interact with on a daily basis? What would you suggest?
Yeah, well, clearly you can't always get out of the way, but what you can do is approach them. You can actually say, this behavior makes me feel. You don't actually need to criticize the person. For instance, I actually on a flight, one time I used to work in an airline, and there was a manager on board who was particularly hostile very difficult. All the crew fled down the bank. Nobody would work with her, and they were all upset by her behaviour. Now, for a little while, I sort of sat there too. I thought she was being harsh, she was being mean, she was being aggressive. But I then decided to go and approach her because I didn't really know what to do. So I went up, this is a long, long time ago, so I went up to her and I said, look, is everything okay? And she broke down on the spot, right then and right there. She broke down. Now, the other people who didn't speak to her, if I'd have remained like that, I wouldn't have had that experience. I wouldn't have understood that she was in pain. I would have remained hostile towards her, perhaps withdrawn. Now, it's not always going to happen that way. You're not always going to get that kind of a result. But there are more, there's more information needed in every situation. If there's an ongoing conflict, address it.
Should you bring somebody else in? Because often in workplace situations, it is a very, very sensitive situation,
yes.
Obviously, because your job is on the line as
yes.
well.
Yes.
And if this is somebody who is your boss or your superior in some way, then it can get very, very difficult and possibly nasty. So
yes.
Do you bring somebody else in?
Yes, yes. Do whatever it takes. Get strategic, get smart, make choices that help you evolve out of this problem. Now, sometimes it fails. Sometimes people have to leave work. They do. Sometimes it just fails. It doesn't work. Sometimes you decide what your boundary is. You decide what degree of respect you require within that relationship. I would suggest that you take steps to resolve the problem as best you can. If it's not possible, you even with a third party, then I wouldn't stay in a job where I felt like I was being abused. I have much better things to do with my time. But that isn't always an easy option, but sometimes life is difficult. However, I would do everything in my power to resolve the problem first if I could.
So much that we could talk about. Unfortunately, the hour is up, Karen, but we've been discussing your book, From Bullied to Brilliant, How to Artfully Avoid Fitting In fact. That is the title of the book. Can you tell people how they can get the book or get in touch with you or find out more information about you?
Yes. Well, I have a website, which is the name of the book.com.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, I'm on Facebook all the time. I'm on Twitter. I'm quite social media, active on social media. And the book also can be found on Amazon internationally.
A lot more questions that unfortunately we couldn't get into. We have run out of time, but it has been wonderful having you in, Karen.